Heading for the path that entered forest at the edge of village, Matty went by a roundabout way so that he could pass the home of the schoolteacher, a good-hearted man with a deep red stain that covered half of his face. Birthmark, it was called. When Matty was new to village, he had sometimes found himself staring at the man because he had never known anyone before with such a mark. Where Matty had come from, flaws like that were not allowed. People were put to death for less. But here in village, marks and failings were not considered flaws at all. They were valued. The blind man had been given the true name Seer, and was respected for the special vision that he had behind his ruined eyes. The schoolteacher, though his true name was Mentor, was sometimes affectionately called Rosie by the children because of the crimson birthmark that had spread across his face. Children loved him. He was a wise and patient teacher. Matty, just a boy when he first came here to live with the blind man, had attended school full-time for a while and still went for added learning on winter afternoons. Mentor had been the one who taught him to sit still, to listen, and eventually to read. He passed by the schoolteacher's house not to see Mentor or to admire the lavish flower garden, but in hopes of seeing the schoolteacher's pretty daughter, who was named Jean, and who had recently teased Matty with the promise of a kiss. Often she was in the garden, weeding in the evenings. But tonight, there was no sign of her, or her father. Matty saw a fat, spotted dog sleeping on the porch, but it appeared that no one was at home. Just as well, he thought. Jean would have delayed him with her giggles and teasing promises, which always came to nothing, and Matty knew that she made them to all the boys. And he should not even have made the side trip in hopes of seeing her. He took a stick and drew a heart in the dirt on the path beside her garden. Carefully, he put her name in the heart, and his own below it. Maybe she would see it and know he had been there, and maybe she would care. "Hey, Matty, what are you doing?" It was his friend Ramon, coming around the corner. "Have you had supper? Want to come eat with us?" Quickly, Matty moved toward Ramon, hiding the heart traced in the dirt behind him and hoping his friend wouldn't notice it. It was always fun, in a way, to go to Ramon's home place because his family had recently traded for something called a gaming machine, a large decorated box with a handle that you pulled to make three wheels spin around inside. And then a bell rang and the wheels stopped at a small window. If their pictures matched, the machine spit out a chunk of candy. It was very exciting to play. Sometimes he wondered what they had sacrificed for the gaming machine, but one never asked. "We ate already," he said. "I have to go someplace before it gets dark, so we ate early." "I'd come with you, but I have a cough. An herbalist said I shouldn't run around too much. I promised to go right home," Ramon said. "But if you wait, I'll run and ask." "No," Matty replied quickly. "I have to go alone." "Oh, it's for a message?" It wasn't, but Matty nodded. It bothered him a little to lie about small things. But he always had. He'd grown up lying, and he still found it strange that the people in this place where he now lived thought lying was wrong. To Matty, it was sometimes a way of making things easier, more comfortable, more convenient. "See you tomorrow, then," Ramon waved and hurried on toward his own home place. Matty knew the paths of forest as if he had made them. And indeed, some of them were of his making over the years. The roots had flattened as he made his way here and there, seeking the shortest, safest route from place to place. He was swift and quiet in the woods, and he could feel the direction of things without landmarks, in the same way that he could feel weather and was able to predict rain long before the clouds came or there was a shift in wind. Matty simply knew. Others from village rarely ventured into forest. It was dangerous for them. Sometimes forest closed in and entangled people who had tried to travel beyond. There had been terrible deaths, with bodies brought out strangled by vines or branches that had reached out malevolently around the throats and limbs of those who decided to leave village. Somehow forest knew. Somehow, too, it knew that Matty's travels were benign and necessary. The vines had never reached out for him. The trees seemed, sometimes, almost to part and usher him through. "Forrest likes me," he had proudly commented once to the blind man. Seer had agreed. "Maybe it needs you," he pointed out. The people needed Maddie, too. They trusted him to know the paths, to be safe on them, to do the errands that required traveling through the thick woods with its complicated, maze-like turnings. He carried messages for them. It was his job. He thought that when it came time to be assigned his true name, Messenger would be the choice. He liked the sound of it and looked forward to taking that title. But this evening, Maddie was not carrying or collecting a message, though he had fibbed and told Ramon so. He headed to a clearing he knew of, a place that lay just beyond a thick stand of bristly pines. Deftly, he jumped a small brook, then turned off the worn path to proceed between two trees, pushing his way through. These trees had grown fast in recent years, and now the clearing was completely concealed and had become Maddie's private place. He needed privacy for this thing he was discovering about himself, a place to test it in secret, to weigh his own fear for what it meant. It was dim in the clearing. Behind him, the sun was starting to set over village, and the light that reached down through forest was pinkish and pale. Maddie made his way across the mossy ground of the clearing to a thicket of tall ferns near the base of a tree. He squatted there and listened, leaning his head toward the ferns. Softly, he made a sound, one he had practiced. A brief moment later, he heard the sound he had both hoped and dreaded to hear in response. He reached gently into the undergrowth and lifted out a small frog. From his hand, it looked up at him through bulging, unafraid eyes and made the sound again.
Jerome.